Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 15 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, happy to bring on our next guest, head football coach for the UNC Bears, Coach Ed Lamb. Oh, yeah. That is an applause for a job well done. Well, at least so far from what we know. Coach Ed Lamb joining us. Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
And you said in your press conference, Coach, that it was going to be a focus. You were going to focus in state. You were going to go after, you know, the big names in our state. And I'm looking at this list in front of me, and I just see Denver, Greeley, Castle Rock, Longmont, Colorado Springs. It's all over the map. Johnstown, guys we covered on our prep scene here. So you absolutely did exactly what you talked about in your opening press conference, Coach.
You bet. Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. It's I'm a big believer about player development. It's the mantra of our program. I'm a bit of a one-trick pony when it comes to building a roster, and I believe it's all about player development. And I think that's best done from within. And when I say within, I'm talking about, you know, starting with inside the player's body, teaching them how to take care of themselves, teaching them how to take care of their mindset, teaching them how to take care of their mental health. But also, you know, when I say from within, I'm talking about people who take pride in our community, people who take pride in our region, people who take pride in our state. And so that's what we're building here, is a roster that can be proud of what they represent. And those people that they represent, you know, hopefully take a higher level of interest.
And, Coach, you know, we're seeing what's going on all over in the recruiting world and the transfer portal world and all of that. And you see some teams don't have that focus, you know, as far as staying in state. But I know that's something that's important to the University of Northern Colorado, and something that fans have been wanting for so long, is to say, hey, we want UNC to be the place. If you're playing football in Colorado, we want you to at least have a shot here. I've seen some great players. We just talked about Austin Eckler, one of the studs in the NFL now, didn't play for the UNC Bears, and that I was so bummed out about that. But this is awesome, seeing so many local guys, state guys, coming to the University of Northern Colorado. I think it's absolutely huge for this program and huge for this community.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're really, I said it from the very beginning, we're gonna build it from the ground up. I love what the transfer portal has done for college football, because it holds coaches accountable. And with the skyrocketing salaries at a lot of the higher levels of football, you see guys getting impatient and they're chasing that money. And we're being held accountable as a profession now by players who are free agents. They can go where they want. That doesn't mean that's how I want to build a roster. But you know, I really like that the transfer portal has got some coaches really working it hard. That leaves us greater opportunities. I think the high school class that we got was fantastic. You know, will they all be contributing in year one? You know, likely not. But ask me in 3 years how our recruiting class was, and I'll give you an honest assessment.
UNC Bears head coach Ed Lamb joining us. Coach, obviously, and I've always been curious about this. You know, when you see coaches that have been with a certain program for a while, okay, they can start filling the roster where they see holes, where they see needs, or they're developing certain schemes and then go get those guys. For you jumping in with the Bears first year with UNC, what is that process like for you when you hit the recruiting trail, when you sign these guys? Is it just about, okay, we're getting the best players out there, or do you quickly go to, here's the style of play we're going to be looking at, we got to get these guys? Or are you even looking back the last couple of years, looking at holes on those offenses and defenses and trying to fill them? What's that process like for you jumping in?
Oh, yeah, really good question. You just said it. So the first thing for us, which is a little bit of an advantage that can overcome some of the obstacles of just coming in somewhat blinded to what we've already got on the roster, we run a pro style of offense and defense. We're man-to-man based on our defense, and we're multiple on our offense. So, you know, I can't promise how many wins we're going to get or anything like that, but I can tell you we will win games next year, you know, primarily throwing the football. We will win games primarily rushing the football by the time that the game is over. You'll see on defense, you'll see games where we win and hold opponents with a lot of aggression, and you'll see games where we hold opponents with a lot of zone and force them to execute down the field. So, that being said, we're looking for standards on our roster that are going to exist every year. It's not a gimmicky or niche type thing where we're looking to add 18 receivers because we're in the spread or something like that. So we had to take some best guesses. We watched all the video from last year. We felt like our greatest areas of needs were offensive line, defensive line, receivers, and defensive backs, and that's how the class shaped up.
UNC football coach Ed Lamb joining us. And coach, that's got to be a luxury too, when because you say you want to go after talent in the state, but what happens when you start diving in and you're seeing the tape, you're evaluating, and you're going, man, there's not a lot. But that doesn't seem to be the case here. And I've said it, there's easily 20, 30, 40 great Division I caliber athletes in this state, and you found a chunk of them, my friend.
Yeah, the state is under-recruited. I mean, let's not spread that around too much. It's going to take a few years for people to realize that. But, when I first took the head job at Southern Utah, not a lot of those schools in state other than BYU were recruiting in the state of Utah. And, very soon with a Utah-based roster, Southern Utah, Weber State, Utah State, University of Utah, and BYU were all being very successful on the field consistently. And, now that state is getting to the point where it's pretty saturated with recruiters. Colorado is still very under-recruited, and we're going to take advantage of that for as long as that dynamic exists.
And I think that's what's so awesome about what you've done already, because we've done a lot of interviews. We've heard a lot of coaches say that. And, yeah, they'll get a few. They'll get a handful here and there. But as far as starting things off here, you packed a punch with these guys. And, I'm seeing some big boys, too, an offensive lineman, a guy coming over 6'5", 310 pounds. I mean, some big boys hopefully can stack up on that offensive line.
You bet. Yeah, we'll continue to make our greatest investment in Colorado, and we'll continue to invest in guys with runway, guys with future potential, and a lot of times that's length and speed. We want that on the offensive line. We want that in the skill positions, every position on our team. For the most part, we don't paint a hard line and turn down a player who's not 6'4" all the time. But for the most part, you'll see our signing classes and our team be one of the bigger teams in the conference.
We're talking to UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. Coach, I know it has been, you've just hit the ground running, getting settled in, but then bam, you're going into your two stints of signing day and getting these players coming in here. But how have you been settling as far as being in the community and such? Have you had a chance to catch your breath yet?
In moments, I learned a long time ago that to compartmentalize, my daily life quite a bit. When I'm here and doing football, depending on the task at hand, it's kind of 100% and almost with blinders on sometimes. And then, it's nice to be able to switch that off for a while and go home and enjoy the family. I can tell you that the way this community has responded, to my son, I think he's kind of been well documented. I've got a special needs son. We were very concerned about how that would look his days, in the school environment. And his school has just they've blown away any hopes that I had and been above and beyond. So he's comfortable in a good spot. My daughter is very comfortable and making friends already. My wife as well. With a practice field and a weight room and a group of boys, I could pretty much be in love and with any situation. So I'm as good as can be here, but the family is taken care of, and that's such a good feeling for me.
I know, Coach, and I'm happy about the family dynamic too. You're so awesome when it comes to that. Everything we've learned so far, and I know that was huge for you. But I also know that hey, getting in that gym is a priority for you, because we were saying hey, let's get him on at 12 if we can. And I said no way. That's workout time. So I love that. Sticking right to it, man. Sticking that regimen.
We keep track of all misses. If somebody's got a miss, it doesn't matter whether it's I don't care if they're getting married, if they've got a funeral to go to, or they're sick or they're playing sick. It's still the same to the team. We miss that guy that day. And my name goes up there too if I have a miss. And so, it is number one priority. Everybody in the building here who works with me knows that at 12 o'clock I'm over there with the team. I've got a shtick where I tell them I've never been sick a day in my life. I don't feel any pain, and I try to keep that shtick going during the weight room. But just between you and me, hopefully none of the boys are listening, I'm barely surviving, man.
I was going to say, mine's the opposite. Every day I'm in pain. I feel sick more often than not. But good for you, Coach. And I love that. You said that in your press conference, too. I'm going to work out with these guys. I'm going to push it with these guys as much as I can anyway. And I just think that kind of stuff, that really takes hold. I have to imagine players see that, see what you're doing in the gym, see you running, doing all that stuff. stuff, whether you're about to die or not, Coach, I think that stuff takes hold.
I believe it does. I've got some really good feedback from the players. You know, it's not this is not something I read about in a book or, you know, on Instagram and try to, you know, create this this dynamic here. It's the way that I believe a football team needs to be built. And as long as I can do it, it just keeps them from complaining. It makes the buy-in a little bit quicker. I think at some point, you know, the team gets to the point where I could probably step away and they're not relying on my leadership in there. But right now, there's eyes every day trying to see if I skip a rep, trying to see if I miss a day. I mean, they want to see if the door is open for them to do the same. And I'm going to keep that door closed.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. Coach, I was going to ask you this last time because we had some people in the community ask me this question. They wanted to know your style. Are you a yeller? Are you pumped up on the sides? Are you calm, cool, collected? What does it look like with your style on game day when you're on the sidelines?
Sure, yeah. Thanks for asking. And you know, my staff should be a reflection of me. Now, I don't think will ever be 100%. So you could get a picture of me or a video of me pretty intense and yelling. But here's what we feel like. We feel like if there's coaching that can be done prior to the snap on a game day, well, that's certainly helpful to the players. Anything that's done really post-snap or between snaps from sideline to on the field is just, that's just really for show or an expression of frustration by the coach. I don't allow that. We don't do that. We encourage guys. We want to coach them pre-snap, get them slightly adjusted or encouraged. But for the most part, you're going to see a really intense practice environment and a very composed sideline from players and coaches on game day.
Talking to UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. Coach, got a texter coming in here. What does spring ball look for you guys and your staff right now as far as dates and everything or kind of the plan? Can you talk to us about that just yet at this point?
Yes. Yeah, we're looking right now. We've got to put it through a final approval just because the NCAA requires a couple of kind of academic cross points on the decision tree of where the practice dates will align. But right now, what I've submitted is a March 27th start. I like to push spring practice back as far as I possibly can because I want to maximize our time in the weight room with winter conditioning. So we're doing a 10-week winter conditioning period started on the first day of classes on January 9th. And we're not going to start spring practice until March 27th. And then we're going to go 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, all the way until Saturday, April 22nd. That final week will be a Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, just three times on that final week. That'll give us 15 practices, and we'll have a spring game probably sometime in the 1 or 2 o'clock time slot on April 22nd.
I'm looking forward to that already, Coach. I think we're trying to put something together to get out there and broadcast. Do you handle it kind of like a – because some coaches do it in a game. Some coaches kind of get gimmicky with it. How do you handle the actual game portion?
We're going to split into two competitive teams.
Okay.
And we're going to have a football game, and it's going to be coached by supporters of the program. So we're going to have, we're going to have two separate coaching staffs. Our coaching staff will be in, we'll be in support mode, but we may be up in the stands as well or and enjoying it if there's people to get to know and talk to and enjoy the moment. We put together play sheets that have, inside run to the right, outside run to the left, deep pass, short pass, control passing game. Same on defense. We have a menu. And so the coaching staff, they don't really know what our play calls are. They don't know our language, but they'll just read that off, and then the right play will go in, and they'll get a chance to call the game.
Oh, that's pretty fascinating. So that gives people a chance, fans of the program, to come out and try their hand at some stuff there, and it gets them involved. I kind of like that, Coach.
Exactly, yeah. And they give the pregame speeches if that's their style. I'm not a pregame speech guy, but if they want to give one, the team is there and available. They'll have their own separate team, their own separate locker room. It'll be a lot of fun.
I think it sounds outstanding. Well, and I'm glad you have the plays there for them because then you get guys like me that would come in with, like, let's just run Hail Mary and never punt. You know, Hail Mary every time, never punt. Here we go.
Well, you know what? That's the advantage because, you get a lot of that as a coach. You know, I'm out at the grocery store or at the tractor supply or something, I'm talking to somebody, and then they bring something up like that. I'm like, huh. You know, the only way to teach somebody whether those kind of things actually work is just to give them the experience. So, yeah, at some point there, if you've turned it over on 8 straight series of 4 and out without punting, then you might, you know, you might try something else.
I'm a slow learner, Coach. I might just keep going. I think I told you this last time, and I want to get my father-in-law, because he's the kind of guy that watches games and he goes, why do they keep running in the middle every time?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, you should come down and call those outside run plays and see how often they work, right? If you just run 10 of those in a row.
I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Weird Al, you can find it on YouTube. He does one that's it's a skit called Every Coach, Every Game Day, something like that. Every media, and that's one of the questions is the media member says, "Hey, coach, why didn't you do the thing that would have worked every time? The thing that I would have done."
Hey, I might bring that question to you at some point, Coach. I might at some point. Don't murder me. Just promise me that.
But question.
We have to do that at some point. Or my favorite, what do you know and when did you know it? That's what I'm going to bring to you at some point. Coach, appreciate. Hey, did you get those horses moved in? Everything good on that front?
That could not be any better. They've adapted to the weather really well, and they're in a great spot. And, my son and I have already been getting some rides. We even got a ride in the teams at temperature level. So, we're out. We're committed.
Man, I love that. I think I told you a little bit about my kiddo. We got him on a horse 4 weeks ago, and he rides one every week now. So, and he's 5. So we're like, I told my wife, I said, there's no way this kid's riding a horse. First day, he's on it. So there we go. Feeling good about that. Horses,
something magical about it.
They can be pretty powerful. I think you're 100% right on that. Coach, really appreciate you jumping on with us. And we're looking forward to spring practice, the game, everything. And congratulations on this group. I know this is an important one, and we're excited to see how it plays out.
Thanks for paying attention. Appreciate the chance to be on.
All right, Coach. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
You bet.
USC Bears head coach Ed Lamb. Well, that's unique. Guys, like, supporters of the program get to come down, maybe call some plays.
That's really fun.
Is that what that sounded like to you?
I don't think I've ever seen a spring game done like that.
Well, I mean, if you just want to be, I can be a cliche football guy and say every rep matters. But really, if you're playing in spring, you want to get your installs in. It's all about the practices, and then the game is what it is. The practices are the biggest part of it, and then there's the game, and then then you're off for a while and you have to pick back up. What you're going to gain in practice is what you're going to take with you when you approach the second part of the offseason. The game is, we saw it last year. They didn't even hit the quarterbacks. Like, they're not playing the way that they normally would play. So I guess why not use that as an opportunity to get people involved into in your program?
Yeah, and with spring practices, you're getting an opportunity to see how the team is going to run a practice, how we're going to stretch, what kind of, exercises are we doing, how do the paths of practice go, do we break it up into sections or drills, anything like that. And then also these players get an opportunity to get to know each other. A lot of new guys on this team, a lot of returning starters from last year, and it's going to be a good mix. I'm very excited for it.
He said, that'll give them an opportunity to go out and talk to people as well. I'm telling you, I'm just going to say it. People know, if you followed what we did, we set up to do the broadcast last year, and it was supposed to start at 11 per what we were told, and it didn't start till 11:40, and they just kind of came out whenever. So
I don't think we'll have that issue.
But I think this is going to be more, and I'm just going to say, we're probably going to be more of a laid-back environment type broadcast. So we are planning on broadcasting this. I don't know how that's going to work now. If it's, might you go call play, Angel.
I would, like, who I gets, just bring out my Madden playbook?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, who gets
the little PA crossers?
Well, he said he has the plays. They have the plays for you. Dude,
I'm imagining just like it's a generic play, and then whoever the coach is calls it, and then the players have to, okay, this is the play we're supposed to be running.
They just change it.
But, it's like, no, it's a deep pass, but we're going to be running the actual play. Yes.
Fake punt, and then they just punt it. And I'm like, guys, whoa, what are we doing here?
You and Tanner as the coaches.
Yeah, we should be absolutely do that. I just want to feel like a coach. I just want to have the little radio thing on my belt, headset up here,
and I want to have my
play sheet over my mouth, and I just want to look like I'm really intense and serious. That I want to look that part. That's what I want to do, and I want to have a little red challenge flag.
There you go.
And then just
don't use it,
even though you can't. Like,
you're challenge spring ball.
And then I just stand there and stare down the ref with the flag there. What are you challenging? I don't know.
Your shoe's untied.
I just wanted to throw it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That was great from him. I really like him. He just kind of seems like a Steady Eddie kind of, well, his name's Ed, Steady Eddie kind of coach. He's not going over the top. He's not going to give you these, you know, these long-winded speeches or anything like that. He's not just going to give you the quick, you know, Adazio-type answers either. He's kind of a Steady Eddie.
Yeah, he definitely knows what he's getting himself into, but he also has a level of confidence about what he's doing, and that comes from the experience as a head coach at, you know, a Southern Utah and at a BYU, and then the staff he's put together around him. They're all on the same page in terms of what they're doing, and I think that's going to resonate with the players, especially the ones from last year. They're going to see what a competent coaching staff looks like.
I like that he said this to us, too. He said the players are watching him. And I think, I'm just, compared to last year, the players were also watching him. And they didn't always love what they saw.
It's accountability.
It's being there every day. It's, I'm telling you, I asked to do the internet, which is no big deal for us. It just, we threw out times and I said, how about 12:30? I said, nah, it's workout time. Doesn't work. Where some people might go, well, okay, I'll do 12:30 and then I'll work out later. But Benjamin Franklin once said this, Angel, it's not enough to tell people you're working hard. They need to see you working hard. It's a real thing. That's why when people tell you, I'm busy, I'm working hard. It's like, that's neat, great, good for you. But when they see you do it, that's what really matters. And that seems to be what Ed Lamb is all about, especially because he's cognizant of it. He's paying attention to it right now. It's like those guys are waiting for an opening. So maybe they could do one less rep. Maybe they could quit a little bit earlier, come in a little bit later. But when they see him do it, and I love that he said that. And I'm pretty sure we do have players that listen, so hopefully I didn't catch that segment. He said, don't tell him, but I'm actually kind of dying here, which is also good because most of these coaches are like freaks of nature.
I mean, if you're running up and down the sidelines, you got to be in good shape.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
There's no air up here.
No, there's not. He's a good dude. I love who he is as a guy so far, and we've learned a lot about him in a short time, and I know we're going to learn a lot more. Your thoughts on that interview? It is available at 1310kfk.com as well as theholeshow.com. Holyoke texting in. Penner tied for third currently at Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
Really?
Greg Penner?
I guess, yeah, him and Condoleezza Rice.
Are they, coffee. Like, this is a real competitive thing?
The Pro-Am, yes.
But you can play in it? Like, Greg Penner can play in it?
I mean, if you have the money.
It's just you enter.
I'm showing up with my clubs. Let me play.
So you could theoretically enter if you had the money?
I guess. I would never do it.
That would be embarrassing.
I would be a caddy for a Pro-Am.
I couldn't even be a caddy. I wouldn't know what to give him.
Yeah, 450 years, a 9-iron.
Dude, we're putting.
Oh. Well, there's the driver.
There you go. Just use your foot, man. I'm not going to go all the way back to the golf cart. Eastside Chris, wear a visor. What kind of coach would you be? Would you be a hat wearer, visor?
I always imagine myself, suit? Like, not a suit. Maybe like some nice Nike brand sweatpants.
Oh, yeah, sweatpants for
maybe
sure.
Maybe like a quarter zip pullover with the school logo on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe a hat, maybe a visor, just depends. If it's kind of nice out, a visor.
I'd probably do a hat. Sweatpants for sure.
You
nice
need something
tennis shoes.
To like throw down and get frustrated with and be animated.
Yeah.
Basketball coaches, they take off their suit jackets, and that's a big deal.
I would hate to be a basketball coach because they all wear suits now, don't they?
Although most of them.
I'm seeing more and more wear the little jumpsuits kind of things. Tad Boyle wears a suit all the time.
I think it's great.
Bruce does?
Mm-hmm.
He wears a suit every time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's no way I would wear a suit. I mean, I have one suit.
Look good.
I got one suit. I'm wearing that every day?
You're the one guy on the sideline that's standing up the whole time. You got to look good.
In basketball, I guess. But, I'm sweatpants. Nice, comfortable tennis shoes. Probably some kind of a hoodie of some sort. Would you cut it like Belichick?
Oh, no. You can't cut hoodies.
Belichick does.
Belichick's crazy.
He is crazy, cutting that bad boy.
Cincinnati.
40 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.